New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Here we go. Elissa Walker Campbell, I want to welcome you in to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And it is indeed a very big weekend in college football. And for the Texas A&M Aggies, they will be tested once again after they survived in overtime last weekend against Arkansas in Arlington. Tomorrow, the Aggies will be on the road. They face Mississippi State. And when you review the schedule for the Aggies, the month of October, no doubt, will be a challenge as they face a number of ranked teams. And it is always an honor to welcome in the all-time winningest coach at Texas A&M and College Football Hall of Famer, the great R.C. Slocum. Good evening. How are things in College Station?
Hello, Alyssa. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good
it's
to
always
be with you.
Absolutely, and to have you up on the show. You know, RC, before we look ahead, I definitely wanted to get your pulse on the game last weekend in Arlington because it was too close for comfort, but how about that quarterback, Kenny Hill? He leads the way for the comeback win.
Oh, Kenny did a great job. I think all our guys, we made mistakes, obvious mistakes in the game, and really all phases of the game. We had some letdowns, and I think, you know, it's all how you look at something. I think that game will help us as a team. I was so proud of our guys. It showed the character. You know, it was 28-14 there in the fourth quarter. And they just kept playing away. And we talk all the time about college athletics being a kind of a laboratory for life. And it shows if you just keep, sometimes things look pretty desperate, if you just keep trying, keep stay in the game, keep playing, then good things happen. And I'm so proud of our coaches and our players for the character that they demonstrated there, hanging in there and coming back, getting it to overtime, and then they really played well. We scored the first play of the overtime, and
yeah,
we
uh-huh.
held them four straight downs. They didn't make a first down at overtime. So it was a great win, and I would say a character-building win for our team.
Well, as a result, the Aggies remain undefeated. They're 5-0, 2-0 in the SEC. And, you know, I point out the play of Kenny Hill, how sensational he was. I mean, he is a sophomore sensation. But I agree with you. I mean, it really speaks to the heart of this team and that, you know, Kevin Sumlin, he's got a group of high-level competitors.
Well, I think it starts with the leadership of Kevin. He's first of all, even keel guy. If you watch him on the sideline, I mean, he's not throwing clipboards or visors or whatever. You know,
right.
He's a pretty steady guy.
True.
And
mm-hmm.
I've always thought that kids look to leaders, or in any situation, people look to the leader and say, hey, how we're doing? And the leader says, hey, everything's okay. We're calm here. We're having some problems right now. We're making some mistakes. But overall, we're still fine. And I think Kevin kind of exudes that confidence and stability in the way his demeanor on the sidelines. And I think kids feed off of that. Everything's okay, you know. So they just kept playing, you know, playing, and then they made some plays. And that's the way it works. If you'll stay in the game and keep playing. And so many times guys say, oh, well, you know, this thing, we're hopelessly down now or whatever. And our guys never blinked. They just kept playing, and then they came up with some big plays. And that's how you win, and good teams do that. And every time you do that, it you're a little better. You know, once you've been there, then – you know, and we'll be in some situations later on like that. And you've got something to draw back on and say, hey, we've been here before. You know, so you keep playing hard and you give yourself at least a chance to win.
Well, it's a learning experience, and it's going to continue to build your confidence as a team and that cohesiveness.
I think I've told people this week it was a whole lot better for us than had we gone up there and just had a cakewalk and won by two or three touchdowns, easy game. That's fun, but I don't think you grow as much as you do when you fight hard and come back like we did the other day. That better prepares us for what we've got ahead of us in the SEC, in particular in our division. There's not going to be an easy game in there. This is going to be an every week thing for us.
A daunting task
this week.
Yes, absolutely. A daunting task ahead when you look at the games and the slew of games coming up in the month of October. Hey, we are so glad you're joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Always a pleasure when R.C. Slocum, Texas A&M great and the legendary coach in college football, is with us. And, you know, you do have to give credit, though, to Arkansas. They are a much improved team, and the Aggies really struggled with their running game.
I was very impressed with Arkansas. I thought, first of all, I thought they're really well coached. I've watched their defense a lot, and they were seldom out of alignment. They did a great job of tackling. They just really pursued the ball, and then offensively, they're a big physical team. You know, they've got a huge offensive line. Their backs are tough runners, but they also have home run kind of speed, you know. So I was impressed with Arkansas. I thought the quarterback made some good plays, and we won't be the only team this year in SEC that they give problems to. They'll give some problems to some other people, and they really, you know, they play Auburn a pretty even game till in the second half. Auburn pulled away a little bit, and so I'm impressed. The coach is doing a good job there. They were well coached. They're a good-looking football team. They're typical. They look like an SEC team when you look at them physically on the hoof.
Well, they gave Texas A&M everything it could handle. And, you know, entering into the 2014 season, RC, I mean, the buzz was about who could possibly replace Johnny Manziel. What is your overall evaluation of Kenny Hill up at this point? Here we are in the first weekend in October, and just how he really has made such a seamless transition.
I think Kenny Hill's off to a great start, and I have to say I'm not totally surprised. I've watched him in practice. He's got the tools. He's got a quick release. He's
okay.
Kind of one of those poised kind. He's not a hyper kind of a kid, and I was at the South Carolina game, and I was just so proud. I mean, that was a great atmosphere. It was jacked up over there, full house, towels
yeah,
going.
Uh-huh.
Music, I mean, it was a wild atmosphere. And we go out there, the opening possession, go right down the field with a young quarterback that's got virtually no playing time, and he goes out there and just looked like he'd been there forever, you know. So I'm tremendously impressed with him.
Okay, so when you review the game tape, I mean, what immediately does come to your mind that the Aggies, that they do need to correct and perhaps clean up as they continue to move forward, because they've got a very big test this weekend and on Saturday?
Well, it's been an ongoing issue. We're playing some young guys in the secondary, but we have one of the basic tenets of defense: you cannot give up big plays. You can no long passes, no long runs, and just make people. Good teams are going to be able to make some yards, but don't give them anything easy. And in the game the other day, and in the South Carolina game, we gave up a couple of easy scores. We really played well overall, but those easy scores, you can't do that. You got to make them earn what they get. And that'd be the most glaring thing to me, is that we have to be better. I say, you know, that guy's releasing off the line, running down that field. He's doing it for a reason. Somebody better be going with him, you know. And So we've got to improve on that, because that won't be the last time we'll see a play-action pass or see guys go deep. We've given up some plays like that, so people say, hey, well, let's see if we can get one. You know, so we've got to demonstrate. And one thing that helps that is improved pass rush, too. Putting some pressure on the quarterback improves that coverage quite a bit. So that's the biggest thing. I think offensively, I like our offensive line. I think we've got excellent running backs. We've already talked about the quarterback. We've got the best group of receivers I've ever seen at A&M.
Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum is with us tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. We are up against the clock. Got to take a commercial break, and we'll be rejoined with the all-time winningest coach at Texas A&M, R.C. Slocum. We are so glad you are joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. We want you to connect with us online. We want to hear from you. Check in with us at Twitter, at @eRadioSports. And remember, twice is always nice. You can go back and listen to the entirety of this interview with Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum at yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. Well, another big test for the Aggies will be on the road. We're talking about in Starkville. They will face the Mississippi State Bulldogs. And this is a team, RC, that no doubt can be dangerous and cannot be overlooked. I mean, they will. You talk about being jacked up. They will be jacked up and ready to play after a week off in that bye.
This team is the real deal. I've seen them a couple of times this year. Saw them against LSU. And they are a talented team. I've talked to some SEC coaches, former SEC coaches, in our Legends coaches poll deal, and they're some pretty astute guys that think this might be the best defensive team in the SEC. And you take that with the fact that they've got one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC, and they've got the ability to run the football. This will be a really tough game for us, playing on the road over there against another big physical team. And this will be a better defensive team than what we saw this past week.
What's the atmosphere like there in Starkville?
Oh, it'll be a great atmosphere. You know, they'll have the cowbells going or whatever. You know. It'll be every one of these places. You know, it's really fun because football means a lot in this league, and that's an understatement. You know, people get jacked up, whether it's at South Carolina or in Baton Rouge or Tuscaloosa, Auburn, wherever you go, Fayetteville. Football is a big deal, and their fans show up. You don't have to worry that they'll have a crowd there, and it'll be very loud and very intimidating. And I think Kevin Sumlin's record right now, I'm just roughing this, but it's something like 12-2 or 13-2 or something like it, his road record. So he's whatever he's doing, I hope he keeps doing it. He's done a great job of getting our team ready to go into these hostile environments and to keep their poise and to go out and play and have fun playing. And he's done a great job. Best job I've seen in a long time anyone do of getting a team ready to go into as tough of environments. I was over at Alabama a couple of years ago, and it doesn't get any tough. We're playing the number one team in college football at a historical place, and the stadium was packed, and it couldn't get any more intimidating than it was, and we take the opening drive and go right down the field and score. And I saw that in South Carolina, and I'd love to see that at Mississippi State this week.
Well, talk to me about the Bulldogs. I mean, what concerns you the most about them? The fact that, you know, of course, they had that big win against LSU on the road, which ended that 14-game series losing streak against the Tigers, but they certainly have shown that they can cover the spread.
I think they've got a little roll going right now. They'll have some confidence after going into Baton Rouge and upsetting LSU. They're playing at home. This will be probably one of the better atmospheres they've had in a while, because there are a lot of expectations for this team, a lot of positive vibes, and they're talented. They're legitimate. Like I say, the defensive side of the ball, they will give us, they'll be the best defense that we've played so far this year that we've faced. And on the other side, their offense is very capable of scoring and will present problems for our defense, because their capability of running the football and the passing game, the play action passes off that. So they'll present this will be an all day sucker for us. You know, it'll be a chore to get this one done.
RC, weigh in on this. I mean, does a game like this come down to quarterback play? I mean, because I understand the Bulldogs, they perhaps what have the most experienced signal caller. I mean, it's going to be really important for Kenny to stay mentally focused from start to finish.
You know, I would say going in, obviously, you're going to have points to win this game. This is not going to be a 10-7, 14-7, whatever. This will be a game where both teams, there will be a premium on when you have the ball. We've got to get some points, because I've got so much respect for their offense that I know they will score. And so that turnaround, that puts a premium on our offense. And it's really interesting, if you look at the SEC, a league that has forever been known for defense, and now you see these games where there's a lot of points being scored, and I think that's more a credit to the offenses than it is a negative for the defenses. I think the style of play of the spread, wide-open offenses, and it's not all spread and passing. There's some running going on, too, out of that spread, because you're making defenses defend the entire football field. Whether it's the run or pass play, they've got you strung from sideline to sideline, and they're running deep routes, and they're running play-action passes, and they're running the ball right at you. And so it's all of a sudden become an offensive league, but still they're great players on defense, if that makes sense. I mean, I'm not
right. Mm-hmm.
saying there aren't good defenses in the league. I think there are good defenses, but I think the offensive styles have changed the nature of the landscape of college football across the country, but especially in the SEC.
Okay, we only got a couple more minutes with R.C. Slocum tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. So let's do some hypotheticals. If the Aggies, they survive the month of October, they're, like we were talking about, Saturday at Mississippi State, then they face Ole Miss. The big game, you got to circle the calendar, at Alabama. In my mind, they, you know, will deserve to be in that top four discussion, correct?
If anyone in the SEC, the SEC West, if anyone goes through unscathed, they'll be a shoe-in for the Final Four. But, you know, that's probably unlikely. Most of the people that I talk to say, you know, you worry about the SEC knocking, you know, just beating each other up, you know, because every weekend, this game against Mississippi State, then the following week, Ole Miss is as good as anybody in there, and it just every week it's going to be that way. So who knows? I mean, it's going to be an exciting deal, and it's totally different than someone that's in the league where they say, well, maybe we're better than everybody in the league except maybe one other team. We'll have to beat them. This league, there's no clear favorite in the SEC, particularly the West Division. I don't know who the favorite would be right now to win it. But the encouraging thing, if I had to pick one and bet on somebody, I'd pick the Aggies. I've talked to our coaches and said, you know, if we're in a horse race right now, it looks like there are a bunch of good horses in the race. But if I've got to pick one, I'd pick ours.
Outstanding. R.C. Slocum has been with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Always a pleasure to catch up. And we look forward to talking to you perhaps in the month of November as well, okay?
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Coach. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. You join us online at yahoosportsradio.com and Twitter at eRadioSports. We will be right back. Okay, the NBA conversation continues right here at YSR, your source for the latest news and notes. And we've got a big show tonight. But right now, we're going to head to Florida. We're going to visit with our basketball junkie, and that is the editor and publisher of Basketball Insiders, Steve Kyler. It's nice to have you with us tonight, Steve.
Nice to be back, and we've got basketball to talk about.
We absolutely do. Well, we are talking about the Eastern Conference, but right now we want to focus our attention on the West. What kind of season do you anticipate that the Lakers are going to have?
You know, they're the funny one because everyone has kind of written them off. Byron Scott joked about it at training camp that he was surprised, and it's somewhat motivated that everybody seems to be piling the dirt on the Lakers. But I think some of the doubt about the Lakers is justified. You know, Kobe Bryant coming off of two really significant injuries, the Achilles tear, and then he had a cracked bone in his knee. You know, and then you talk about a guy who's on the wrong side of 35. Those are things that are worthy of doubting. Steve Nash has not been the player the Lakers hoped he'd be when they signed him. So, you know, there are just so many questions about who they can be. But, you know, I look at the Lakers and I say, if you can get 60 games out of Kobe and you can get 45 or 50 games out of Steve Nash, you scoop up Carlos Boozer by way of an amnesty claim, their young guy in Julius Randle, the return of Nick Young, there are some players on that team. And I think the Lakers could be a sneaky play in the West. I think they really could win 40-45 games, but
the big question
is how healthy can they be?
Mm-hmm. How effective can Kobe Bryant be at 36?
You know, it's so far so good. You know, we're a couple of weeks in, and you know he's been training hard. You know, this is probably the most motivated, you know, hardworking guy we have in sports right now, certainly in the NBA. And he's as motivated as anybody to get back and prove everybody wrong. Now, you know, Father Time is undefeated. He gets everybody eventually. And bodies do break down, especially bodies that have as many miles
right.
on them as a Kobe Bryant. But you know, far early in training camp and certainly in some of the scrimmages and things, Kobe's looked great. You know, he's not going to be that guy who plays way above the rim. But the way above the rim Kobe hasn't been around for a while. So, you know, this is going to be probably a more crafty, savvy Kobe Bryant. I think you'll see him taking better shots, more efficient shots. I do think that you'll see his numbers come down to earth a little bit, but I do think he's going to be productive this year. Like I said, I'm counting on 60 games. I think he's going to miss. I think he'll miss them back to back, you know, in some of those fatigue type situations. But I do think you're going to see Kobe looking a lot more like Kobe. And certainly I think that's going to be the big difference between what the Lakers season ultimately is. If they can get 60 games out of Kobe, I think they're going to be in pretty good shape.
The editor and publisher of Basketball Insiders, Steve Kyler, is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. And so how do you view the addition in the offseason of Jeremy Lin? How do you see him fitting in with the Lakers? And can he return to the level of Linsanity like he did with New York 3 years ago?
I think Lynn's sanity was an aberration. I think what you saw from Jeremy Lin in Houston is more of what he was as a player. You know, remember, he was undrafted, comes into Summer League, played Summer League for the Dallas Mavericks, and he looked okay. He didn't look like an elite-level player. You know, he got a chance with Golden State. He played in the D-League and looked pretty good. You know, then he had that eruption in New York that just captivated everyone. And I think the story of Lin Sanity was bigger than his play. You know, he did hit some big shots and did score some points. But, you know, he wasn't an overly efficient player. And, you know, I think when you saw extended minutes of him in Houston, was more typical of who he is. Now, I think the one thing that is going to play in Jeremy's favor is he's got Laker Nation behind him, and they can be a little crazy. He's certainly going to get a lot of fan support because of who he is and what he represents. But to think that he's going to get back to being a guy that's, you know, a top 1% type player, I don't ever think he was that kind of player. But I think he'll be good for the Lakers. I think the way they're going to play and having a coach like Byron Scott's really going to be good for Jeremy. But I expect Jeremy to be more of a, you know, 10, 12 point a night type guy that maybe is playing off the bench rather than somebody who's leading the team or being sensational while doing it.
Well, one of the intriguing pieces with this roster is the addition of Carlos Boozer. How do you see him fitting in?
You know, I like this addition. First, you know, you get him for basically a fraction of what his probable free agent market value was because the Chicago Bulls are waiving him, basically waived him with the amnesty provision. This is a good get. You get a veteran guy who knows how to play. It's going to help the young guys. Certainly when you look at Julius Randle, their first-round draft pick, you know, that's a good guy to learn work ethic from. When you talk to guys like Derrick Rose and Taj Gibson in Chicago, they all looked up to Carlos Boozer in a very big brother kind of way. And, you know, when Derrick had his MVP season, you know, Carlos was the guy in his ear telling him not to let up and to keep working and to keep pushing, and you are this good. And, you know, Derrick talked about that a lot that first year, and I think that's going to be good for Julius Randle. Is, you know, one, a lot of pressure comes off because you can go to Carlos, and, you know, Carlos can do a lot for you. He's not the player he was when he got to even Chicago, but at the same time, he's a guy that understands how the league works, and I think he's going to be a good locker room influence for some of those young guys. And I think there's a little left in his tank. I don't think he liked the fact that he got, you know, released the way he did in Chicago. So I think
right.
He'll be a motivated Carlos Boozer, and I think he'll be helpful to the Lakers as well.
Okay, the editor and publisher of Basketball Insider, Steve Kyler, is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio. Steve, tell our national audience where they can go and check you guys out online.
Yeah, Basketball Insiders. We cover the NBA and basketball 365, 7 days a week. Anything that's going on in the league, we're going to be all over it. We've got guys in locker rooms around the NBA. So all throughout the season, if there's anything going on, it'll be going on at Basketball Insiders.
Well, I was teasing you, Steve, before we started tonight's interview that do you ever sleep? Because when I wake up in the morning, I'm going through all the Basketball Insiders, the latest reports, the news and updates. It's fantastic.
Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Steve, okay, so let's talk now about the Oklahoma City Thunder. Obviously, motivation is very, very high. Is this a team that can finally win it all?
You know, I think they can. You know, they've got the right kind of mix when you look at, you know, the elite-level superstar that is Kevin Durant, you know, the second superstar that's Russell Westbrook. They've got an emerging star in Reggie Jackson. Serge Ibaka is an elite-level player, and a lot of their young guys, the guys that they had spent draft picks on or had traded for over the last couple of years, really coming into their own during the playoffs last year. Steven Adams really emerged as, you know, a real legitimate kind of go-to, low-post, play-dirty type big man, and I think he's going to do more for them this year. Jeremy Lamb looks great for them in summer league, and they're expecting a lot more from him. I like this Thunder team a lot. You know, the big problem for them last year was injury. You know, they lost Russell Westbrook for so many games, but still able to be right there in the thick of things in the West. So, you know, I look at them as one of the favorites in the Western Conference. I think it's kind of a three-horse race when you look at San Antonio, the Clippers, and then the Thunder right there. And I think for them, it's can they stay healthy? You know, they've got a system in place that they really believe in. And I think over time, they've proven that they're as good as anybody in basketball.
Is that the biggest obstacle that they're going to face? You're talking about injury prone?
Absolutely, because you just don't know what you're going to get out of Russell Westbrook. And that's, and at some point, injury is going to catch up with Kevin Durant just in terms of the miles. Remember, he bowed out of Team USA midway through the process, just citing mental and physical fatigue, because he logged more minutes than anybody in the NBA last year on his way to an MVP. You know, if they can get him a little more help. But again, you always have to wonder, when you lean on a guy as much as they lean on Kevin, you know, when is, you know, the injury bug going to catch him? So, you know, they've got to stay healthy. They don't have quite the depth to really lean on that if one of their big guys goes down. You know, if Kevin Durant goes down, that team's probably coming apart. So, you know, they don't really have that really next guy, but the guys they do have are really, really good.
Of course, talking about Kevin Durant, the league MVP, he signs that shoe endorsement for $320 million. Obviously, some awkward timing with his withdrawal from Team USA, but that really was in the best interest for himself to get rested and ready, and also for the Thunder.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talk about that big shoe deal. He got most of that in one lump sum. So that's
wow.
Even crazier. Is what do you do with $275 million the day you get it? But you know, Kevin certainly deserves it when you look around the league. I always kind of look at it this way. You can tell how popular guys are with when you see how many guys are wearing your shoe. And when you look at guys around the NBA, they're wearing Kevin Durant shoes. They're not wearing LeBron James shoes. You know, he is an incredibly popular player, and Nike did the right thing, really stepping up and taking care of him, because he's really an emerging brand for them. He did almost, I want to say it was $200 million in retail sales last year for the KD brand. So you're going to see a lot of him. You know, he's a really likable guy.
Right.
And, you know, couldn't be a better person off the court, and I think you're starting to see it. He's becoming one of the best players in the game on the court.
Steve Kyler has been with us tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. Check him out online. He's the editor and publisher of Basketball Insiders and does an outstanding job. Thank you so much, Steve.
Anytime.
Stay close. Much more straight ahead at YSR. Yes, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. It is time now to head to the Big Ten Conference and check in with our college football analyst, and that is Husker great Jason Peter. Good evening, Jason.
How you doing, E?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. It's been a very busy week, an awesome show. And here we are in the month of October. Things are not moving in the right direction for Michigan football. Obviously, we've heard about the headlines, everything this past week. Head coach Brady Hoke is in his fourth season, and he is certainly on the hot seat. I guess it's not a matter of if, but when some change will take place. Or what do you believe the future holds for Brady Hoke?
Well, if Michigan football keeps going down this path, then it's an easy decision. The reality is that his best year, I think, was his first year, and it's just been downhill ever since. I guess when you look at the recruiting rankings, it seems like they're still pulling in kids, but you know, they're just not panning out, I guess. They're not getting developed once they're getting on campus, one way or another. But you know, it's Michigan football, and for some reason, still considered a premier program. You know, in the modern era, I know they like to say, you know, the winningest football program of all time. But I think a lot of those victories came maybe before TV went to color. You know, that's just the reality of
right.
it. I mean, hey, look, and I know my team has its own issues, you know, when you look in the recent past. But, you know, you're talking about a team. I mean, they got the one national championship that they split with us in 97. But, you know, other than that, I mean, I don't know what they've really done. I just think Brady Hoke, this whole thing, you know, with Morris, the quarterback,
it's Shane.
Being magnified. I mean, obviously the concussion thing is a huge, huge issue, and not the time that, you know, you want to go through something like that. But, you know, the reality is that the kid probably had a concussion. I mean, the terminology that they used or that they gave to us, it was kind of ridiculous. You know, probably a mild concussion or something like that. You know, I don't even know if that's a medical term. But, yeah, I mean, everything is just it's blowing up now. And this is just – this is the reason – or this is the excuse that, you know, fans, students, whatever, you know, national media, what they're using to get him fired, when in all reality, all you have to do is look at the record, and that should be enough, you know, for him to be fired.
Jason Peter is with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. You know, you had referenced just a moment ago Brady's initial season. I mean, they finished 11-2, and we're wondering, of course, is this a make-or-break season for him? But, you know, going back to last weekend against Minnesota and Shane Morris with that concussion, I mean, did you see the tape? And how could that? How could they lack to have that kind of communication?
Well, I mean, I could see how it happened, was that you have everybody on the sideline and they're watching the game. And that hit was so late that I imagine that when Shane Morris threw the ball, everybody's eyes are following the football and to see whether or not, you know, the receiver's going to catch it or not. That hit came, you know, a good 2 seconds after the ball was gone, so I could see. But, you know, then the guy's lying down on the ground, you know, he's obviously dazed and confused, and at that point there should have been somebody on the sideline who's saying, look at Morris, we got to get him out of the mm-hmm. game. And, you know, I know that they have some quarterback issues at Michigan right now, and Morris wasn't the only one, I guess, who was banged up, but you got to get him off the field, and you got to, at least knowing that he took the type of shot that he took to the point where he was wobbly out there. I mean, isn't it protocol that you do a concussion test on a guy like that? I mean, when he doesn't know what day of the week it is, that would be my first, feeling is like, hey, let's get the doctor over here and get this guy checked out. So, you know, but when you look at the whole picture, I can understand Brady Hoke. It's like, you know, his mind, and this is not an excuse, but I'm trying to imagine what was going through his mind, and he's just thinking, man, I'm about to lose to Minnesota. He's like, What am I going to do? How are we going to win this football game? Maybe it wasn't necessarily, let's make sure that Shane's all right, which, you know, therein lies the issue that, you know, player safety is supposed to be, you know, the number one issue. And that's where, you know, the criticism of Brady Hoke is coming.
Well, he's certainly feeling the heat. You're talking about the loss to Minnesota, but unranked, and losses to Utah. And, of course, we remember that complete shutout against Notre Dame. So, obviously, they are very desperate for a win. You just have to really wonder, I mean, does Brady Hoke lack the leadership that this program obviously desperately needs? So,
I mean, you remember prior to the season, I mean, you know, at the start of or at the end of last season when Michigan hired Doug Nussmeier, the offense coordinator from Alabama, I mean, Michigan fans were selling that almost like, you know, here they had Nick Saban's understudy, you know, that this was going to be a guy who was going to change the Michigan offense, and you know, they're basically getting a guy with the qualifications of a head coach, you know, as their offensive coordinator. And it was just up and up for Big Blue from here on out. And when you look at this team, I mean, the offense is just horrible. It's just horrible. I mean, they don't have playmakers. They don't have guys on the line. I mean, when's the last time you looked at a Michigan offensive line and it's like there's not, you know, here, this guy, you know, their left tackle, he's going to be the first rounder this year, and then they got some 315, 20-pounder on the right side who's going to move over the next year and play the left side. I mean, this was the Michigan offensive line, and you look at them now, and it's just like, it's almost like, where is this talent from these recruiting classes? Where are these kids? Are they just that bad? Are they not getting developed? What is the problem?
Right, it's perplexing. I mean, and they are certainly searching for answers, but we're quickly running out of time. Jason, I got to ask you, I mean, we're through the first 5 weeks of college football. I mean, what have you learned so far about the Big Ten Conference? I mean, your Huskers, they're the only ones with the unblemished record.
Yeah, and, you know, they're still a team that I think most people aren't really sure about. You beat Miami. But, you know, Miami is a name, almost the same way that Nebraska is just a name at this point. Until you go and you beat some real teams, and you go on the road and you beat some real football teams in hostile environments and so on and so forth, you know, everything else doesn't really matter. And up to this point, Bo Pelini really doesn't have, I guess, you know, what a lot of people like to call signature win. You know, there really hasn't been anybody that he wasn't supposed to beat. Well, he's got an opportunity this week, you know, against Michigan State. But
is that why they haven't gotten a higher ranking, Jason? I mean, because they're 19th right now, and there's been a lot of talk about, you know, the fact that the Huskers, I mean, you've got a program with history. And
yeah. Well, it's all about recent history, and that's what, you know, Nebraska doesn't have. I mean, they don't have any big wins. They don't have anything to hang their hat on. And right now, I think even though a lot of national media, they want to get on the Nebraska bandwagon because, number one, the Big Ten needs it. I mean, right now, your flagship program is Michigan State. I mean, Michigan State, that's a basketball school. Now, that's no knock on what they've done. I mean, it's more credit to them, but
right.
That's just kind of how I think
they've improved
national
a lot, though.
Perception is. It's that Michigan State, you know, Izzo's school. I mean, that's just they're a basketball team, but you know, they I think people, when they think Big Ten, that's who they're thinking now as a legitimate team, Michigan State. And I think that's why, you know, they went out to Oregon, and it was a good game for three quarters. I mean, Michigan State was right there. They just, you know, lost control of it in the fourth quarter. But I think, you know, most people still look at Michigan State as you know, that team that ultimately, you know, you throw in the mix for the conversation when you're talking the college football playoff.
Okay, Jason Peters has been with us tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. Always love going under the helmet with him and catching up, getting his perspective and insight. And JP, next time you're on the show, or next week when you're on the show, we will do a full recap. This time, let's talk Big 12, Oklahoma, TCU, and that is going to be one to keep our eye on this weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me.
Much more straight ahead.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.